going to enter a time of thanksgiving, making much of Jesus, we called this Sunday. And so this Sunday where we want to just brag on all that the Lord has done for us. But to set us up for that, I want to give you a wee bit of inspiration. And this is, takes place in Acts chapter 16. And it's just broken up into kind of three main sections. The first section I'm calling a bad situation. Here's what it says. One day, on our way to the place of prayer, a slave girl ran into us. This is Luke writing this, and it's about, it was traveling with Paul. So he says, a slave girl ran into us. She was a psychic, and with her fortune telling, made a lot of money for the people who owned her. All right, already this is just a super complicated, difficult place. This girl needs help. Wouldn't we agree? She needs to be set free. Anyway, she started following Paul around, calling everyone's attention to us by yelling out, these men are working for the Most High God. They're laying out the road of salvation for you. Now, this sounds like it could be a good thing, right? She's kind of like in their corner, except she never stopped. She just kept yelling and yelling and yelling. And said, she did this for a number of days until Paul, finally fed up with her, turned and commanded the spirit that possessed her, out in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of her. And it was gone, just like that. Okay, so that's pretty good. There they are doing Christ's work, setting this woman free. This is incredible. This, they should just be now enjoying great blessing, right? Great blessing from God. Let's see what the reward is. When her owners saw that their lucrative little business was suddenly bankrupt, they went after Paul and Silas, roughed them up, and dragged them into the market square. Then the police arrested them and pulled them into a court with the accusation, these men are disturbing the peace, dangerous Jewish agitators subverting our Roman law and order. Didn't see that coming. By this time, the crowd had turned into a restless mob out for blood. The judges went along with the mob. They had Paul and Silas's clothes ripped off and ordered a public beating. And they would use these rods, these sticks and poles and whatever. After beating them black and blue, they threw them into jail, telling the jailkeeper to put them in under heavy guard so that there would be no chance of escape. He did just that, threw them into maximum security cell in the jail and clamped leg irons on them. All right. So there's the situation. Not exactly ideal. Beaten black and blue for doing the Lord's work, for doing just what Jesus was asking them to do. And then thrown into a prison with leg irons so they couldn't move their legs. So not only are they stiff and sore and bloody and in severe pain, they're also, they can't shift their bodies to get more comfortable. This is also, the leg irons were also part of torture. It's a very, very difficult situation. One that they didn't see coming, and one that they didn't deserve, but one that they got. So that's the very bad situation. The second thing is their surprising response. So what would you do in this situation? When I think about what I would do, I would be a little bit complainy. I'd have a few things to say to the Lord. And I would be wondering if following Jesus was such a great idea. You know, like I thought all things work together for good. Doesn't that mean that I'm going to be happy and peaceful and comfortable all the time? That's what it means to me. But here's what they did. Along about midnight, Paul and Silas were at prayer and singing a robust hymn to God. The other prisoners couldn't believe their ears. So there they are in the midst of this terrible situation, in extreme pain, living with the injustice of doing God's work and getting beat up, and they are singing hymns. They're giving thanks. They're praising God loudly. And the other prisoners can all hear them, and they're just kind of, they can't believe what they hear. This is not a normal response. This is a response of people who are faith-filled, who are disciples of Jesus. That's the kind of response that they have, filled with thanksgiving and praise. And then we get, so we've had a bad situation, a surprising response, and now we get a remarkable outcome. Here's what happens. Then, without warning, a huge earthquake. The jailhouse tottered. Every door flew open. All the prisoners were loose. Startled from sleep, the jailer saw all the doors swinging loose on their hinges. Assuming that all the prisoners had escaped, he pulled out his sword and was about to do himself in, figuring he was as good as dead anyway. So because he was in charge of these prisoners, if they escaped, they're probably going to kill him. So he just decided he's going to kill himself. When Paul stopped him, "Don't do that. We're all still here. Nobody's run away." The jailer got a torch and ran inside. Badly shaken, he collapsed in front of Paul and Silas. He led them out of the jail and asked, what would he ask? Maybe he would ask, "Why didn't you leave?" Maybe he would ask, "Do you have anything to do with that earthquake?" What would he ask? Here's what he asks. "Sir, what do I have to do to be saved? To really live?" Something about their praise, about their response in this terrible situation, rocked his world so much that he said, "I want what you've got. I want what you've got. I've been free, you were in prison, but in reality, you are the ones who are free. I'm the one that's in jail. What do I need to do to be set free, to experience eternal life?" They said, "Put your entire trust in the Master Jesus. Then you'll live as you were meant to live, and everyone in your household included." Well, they went on to spell out in detail the story of the Master. The entire family got in on this part. They never did get to bed that night. The jailer made them feel at home, dressed their wounds, and then he couldn't wait till morning. He was baptized, he and everyone in his family. There in his home, he had food set out for a festive meal. It was a night to remember. He and his entire family had put their trust in God. Everyone in the house was in on the celebration. What a cool story that is. What an amazing response to difficult times. And I believe that we are in difficult times. This year has been a difficult year. And not just COVID. There's enough other difficulties in our lives that we don't need a pandemic just to rev it up. But there is. We had that as well. The bottom line, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will concerning you." This is what God wants us to do. To be thankful no matter what. To be thankful if our business is shut down. To be thankful if our health is at risk. To be thankful when relationships are tense and money is tight. To be thankful when something that we really want, we can't have. Just to be thankful. This is why it's so important. Number one, it's appropriate for God. This is what in Hebrews 12 it says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks and so worship God acceptably." Isn't that interesting? Worship God acceptably. This is what worship for God looks like, is when we give thanks to Him. He deserves our thanks. He's done so much. And when we don't thank Him, it's, well, you all know what it's like. If you have kids, if you've been around kids and they get a present from Nana or Grandma, you first thing you say is you got to call and say thank you. "I don't want to call and say thank you." I don't care what you want. You're going to call and say thank you because that's an appropriate response to kindness. And God has been extraordinarily kind to us. He deserves our thanks. Secondly, it's good for you. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine." A cheerful heart is good medicine. And so as we gather and we're going to come to these microphones and take turns doing this, it's going to be good medicine for our souls. It's appropriate for God and it's good medicine for us. And last, it's a witness to others, as we saw in that story. That jailer was amazed. Those prisoners were amazed. And when we give thanks, it is a testimony to those around who don't know God. It opens their eyes. They said, "I never thought about God like that." And so that's why it's so important that we give thanks. So here's what's going to happen. We've got a couple of microphones set up here, and we're just going to open the floor, and we invite you to come on up. Maybe don't touch the microphone. That could be a safe, COVID-safe rule. Just come on up. We'll take turns doing this. Try to keep it to 3 minutes. You know, if you go longer than 3 minutes, we have Academy Award music that'll just play you off. And no, we won't. And Erin is going to be up here as well. So Erin's going to come, and she's, for those of you who are watching online, you can email Erin at testimony. Is that what it is? Testimonies at alliancecommunity.ca. Okay. Testimonies. T-E-S-T-I-M-O-N-I-E-S. Well, I did practice. At alliancecommunitychurch.ca. So if you're online, you can just send an email to Erin, or you can just comment on the Facebook feed. And when those come up, then Erin can read your story as well. So that wherever you are, we're in this together. And yeah, so that's what we're going to do. So you think, well, what can I thank God for? Well, here, let me give you some suggestions. I wrote something, because sometimes we think, I don't know, what should I say? Well, I was just talking to someone this morning, and I said, that should be shared from the microphone. So we'll see what happens. Wink, wink. Anyway, so it could be a time that seemed very dark during this last year, but God brought you hope and encouragement. It could be a word of scripture that was particularly meaningful to you. And why was that scripture meaningful? Maybe it's a song of worship that you can't seem to get out of your head. Maybe it's the restoration of a relationship or a new spiritual birth. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's some new spiritual insight. Maybe it's anything that you're thankful to God for. All right? So the microphones are open. Who's going to be the brave one and come up first? This is a bit like karaoke. Okay, yeah, come on up. No, yes. Once the summit starts, then everybody gets in on this. So here we go. Yes, take your mask off when you're talking. That's the rules.
God has blessed me in many ways throughout the year, but I wish to share a story with you about one powerful message I received from Jesus. Closer? Is that better? Many of you know that our son China, or Kevin, lived in China for 4 years, teaching at Canadian International Schools. He was there when the coronavirus appeared in January of last year. He lived in Wenzhou, which was not the outbreak of the virus, but because of the amount of trade between Wenzhou and Wuhan, Wenzhou was hit very hard and went into lockdown immediately. When I say lockdown, I'm not talking about the restrictions that we are living under. For 2 months, Kevin was not allowed to leave his apartment, except for a very short period of time, once every 2 or 3 days, to buy his essential items. At this time, those of us in this part of the world were starting to hear about the virus, but it was not affecting us yet. So it was an uncertain time for me, not knowing what our son was going through. Our usual form of communication was through Facebook Messenger. Because of the time difference, I would send Kevin a message and I would have a response when I woke up the next morning. When I heard the virus had hit Wenzhou, I sent our son a message asking him if he was okay and if the school that he was teaching at was still open. This was on a Sunday night, and when I woke up Monday morning, there was no answer. I continued to check for an answer throughout the week, and I was disappointed each time. Jerry and I then tried our other forms of communication, email, Skype, but Kevin was not answering anything. I began to imagine the worst. Remember, I didn't understand what living in a community with this virus looked like at that time. And I did not know what Kevin was facing. I visualized him living alone, getting sick, and with nobody to help him. The longer the week went on, the more I worried. I shared my concern with my Thursday morning Bible study ladies, and we prayed for Kevin and for God to help me with my anxiousness. A week went by, and that Sunday morning, we were coming to the end of our church service. Pastor Tim asked us to sit quietly and listen to what Jesus had to say. Suddenly, an overwhelming feeling came over me that brought me to tears. I heard Jesus. He assured me that Kevin was fine. As we were leaving the building, I told Jerry that I knew that Kevin was all right. There was no doubt in my mind. That night, we heard from him. His internet had been out for a week. That's all it was. Jerry and I are very happy that at the end of July, Kevin came home for good. Finding a flight from China to Canada that wouldn't end up being canceled was very difficult, and we are very grateful for all the prayers that were offered asking for his safe return. And I will never forget that morning when that message from Jesus came in loud and clear. I'm going to admit to you that up until recently, I have not had a favorite Bible verse, but I do now. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus.
Amen, yeah. Good word. It worked.
I just wanted to come up so I could take the mask off. I have a few things to be thankful for. Hope it doesn't take over the 3 minutes. First of all, we were blessed with our 8th grandchild this year and our 9th one in January. And it seemed like in a year that there was so much hopelessness that this little baby has brought so much joy to us. As you know, the pandemic has hit a lot of people, and my husband and I lost our jobs. He was out of work for 5 months and me with 7 months. But God is faithful. He provided jobs, and he continued to provide for our needs through that time. And another breakthrough is our son and daughter-in-law and 3 grandkids were transferred to Mukilteo out by Seattle last July. We saw them in August and haven't seen them since. And the relationship was kind of strained between the daughter-in-law and us, and we didn't know where we stand. She didn't, like, even the rest of the family didn't know where we stood with her. So we'd just been fervently praying that God would reveal himself to them, because they went to church, but we don't know where they stand right now. And so we were just praying that God would reveal himself, that they would know that they were loved so much and missed very much, and we just prayed that God would open their hearts and soften them. In the last week, our son said, "What's your address?" So I sent him my address. And then our daughter-in-law said, "Are you guys alone on Christmas Eve? Because we want to order pizza for you and appies in Sylvan Lake and have them delivered to you. And then we want to do a Microsoft team meeting and eat supper together and open the gifts that we had sent them." And it was an amazing time. That's the first time we've talked to my daughter-in-law, because she doesn't like Facebook, she doesn't like Skype, she doesn't like Zoom. So that was the first time we talked to her in over a year, and we were on there for an hour. The next day, she said, "Merry Christmas Eve," and she goes, "It was so awesome to connect. We think we should do that once a month, because the kids loved it, and it was great to connect." Wow. So I just praise God for his faithfulness. I honestly say that sometimes it was tough. The year's been tough, but praise God for his blessings and provisions.
Yeah.
I always think about those baseball field cleaning crews that go out really, really fast and then...
Yeah, seventh inning stretch.
Well, I got to tell you, I've had a very sad, grievous couple of years. It's not quite 2 years yet that Ernie's passed away, but God's been so faithful. I was very sick at the beginning of this past year. I went to Hawaii with my brother and sister-in-law for 3 weeks in February, and I got really sick there. I actually started at home ready, but I couldn't cancel it because it was done really quickly, and we flew. And as we flew, I got sicker and sicker. Our flight was horrible. And then the first week, I was really... My sister-in-law had made all kinds of attractions that we were going to go see, so we did that. So adrenaline flowed, kept flowing, right? But as the week was done, then I had 2 more weeks to go yet. And that second week, I got totally sick. I stayed in my room, and my brother and sister-in-law, they were so good. They just took care of me. And finally, one morning, they came and went. It was almost a week later that I was 4 days sick already. And the fifth day, he said, okay, we found a doctor. You're coming with us. We're going to take you to the doctor. So he took me to the doctor, and at that time, that was still in February, but no COVID, right? We heard on television, oh, maybe it was COVID and stuff. And I went to the doctor, and she said, have you got lung problems? And I said, no, it's actually sitting in my bronchial tubes. And so, but I said, in 5 days, we're flying home, and I need a really strong antibiotic. To fly home, that was a major thing, too, because we had different flights to transfers to do. It was all tough. I hated it. The flight was horrible. Anyways, and so, but I was well enough. I could fly, and we flew, and we came home. And then once I was home, then I got really sick. And it was all because of, I had so much emotional trauma from our marriage, from my husband Ernie. It all piled. I had very bad back problems, very bad, bad. And it all went into my back, all the pain. I don't know if you ever heard that emotional stuff can actually physically attack your body. And that's what happened. And I was in my bedroom, in my apartment that time in Airdrie. And I was just sick, sick, sick. Finally, the kids said, all agreed, okay, Mom, you're going to go with Dave and Ange, live with Dave and Ange in Didsbury. So I did that. And there I stayed for four or five months, and Ange and Dave were very good. They were good with me. They said, Mom, you're not doing anything, because I went to the back clinic, too, in Calgary, and they said, second week I said to Angie, I said, after I'd been at the back clinic, I said, Angie, I feel healed. I feel that the Lord's really healed me. And so I went to the appointment, second appointment in Calgary, and that's a Clio back clinic. And they said, oh, I think that you're healed. And I said, I know I'm healed. And I just went home, and I just got better and better and better. God, the Lord just has healed me emotionally, physically. Wow. Guys, it's a miracle that I stand here today. And then another miracle happened is my daughter, Kelly and Phil, son-in-law Phil, they phoned and said, you come live with us. And thank you, family, Sylvan Lake Church family. You welcome me back. My kids welcome me back. And it's just like coming home. Thank you, thank you. That's my, I'm just so thankful.
Nice.
Thank you, thank you.
Getting a lot of hug emojis and heart emojis every time you guys share a testimony. Some people comment, just thank you for sharing, and that they're praying for each one of you who shared.
Oh,
and
cool.
There's just so that you know, there's 40 people just engaging and liking the live stream when you guys share, so thank you.
Cool.
I like to refer myself as a baby Christian. I'm new to Christianity, and I'm very thankful for it. This last year was huge for me, and lots of you know that. I had lots of support. I'm a year sober from alcohol, so I'm very grateful for that. Thank you. So I came to God a year ago, and as soon as I opened up my heart, I felt Him. I felt true love for the first time, and that continues to carry me every day. And I'm thankful for our community. I'm thankful for our church, and you guys are my family. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it going, man.
We came prepared.
Yeah, you did.
was like to look at the audience from the point of view. So. Okay. Test. Your mic open? Yes. Okay, this is about my best friend, Dave, since high school. Dave has a son who would be in his 30s now. Ever since his son was a teenager, he had been in trouble with the law, in spite of Dave's best efforts as a parent. Dave spent years trying to put him on the right path, but finally he had to accept the fact it wasn't going to be. This is my story, but Betty wrote it. This is why it sounds so nice. I'm serious. Meanwhile, Dave's son became a father himself to two boys. Before long, the authorities realized that the boys were being raised in a toxic home and stepped in to remove them. Dave had developed a strong relationship with the kids and prepared his home to have them come with him and his wife, which they did for a while. Sadly, the boys had developed severe behavior problems, and with Dave's wife facing an illness and Dave himself not being in the best of health, it became clear that he and his wife were not going to be able to raise the boys. They went into a foster system. And right now my wife is thinking I'm talking too fast. Well, I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep it under 3.5 minutes, so I'll just let's keep on going here. At this point, Dave became very depressed. He had wanted nothing more than to have a good relationship with his son. He loves our son, Kevin, the China kid, and envies my relationship with him. Then all he could see was that his grandchildren were being taken out of his life. He could certainly not see how God was working out a plan that would be the best for everyone. Whenever he and I had a conversation about God, the only thing Dave could say was, God must be mad at me. It was always hard for me to hear that. Anyway, rolling along here. The grandchildren were in a foster system for a while, and Dave was able to see them, but he continued to wish that he could raise them. With his age and his wife's health problems and with the boys' behavior issues, it was obvious to me and to Betty that why they couldn't, but it didn't appear obvious to Dave. Soon there was talk of the boys becoming adopted. Betty and I saw this as a positive thing, as not many people are willing to take on two boys with behavior problems. Dave continued to be depressed as he was concerned if this happened, he might be cut out of the boys' lives. It would be a very valid concern. A likely outcome, actually. The children were adopted. Dave's concern that he would be out of their lives did not become a reality. We should have a little glass of water here because I'm getting thirsty. He doesn't know exactly where they live, but every once in a while he will get an invitation to meet with the parents and the boys in a public place. This before COVID, actually. Keep in mind this was always a risk on the part of the adoptive parents. They could not know if Dave would tell the biological parents where the boys were. A couple of years passed, and Dave began to accept the situation. Thank you. Holy smokes. Is that what they call an answer to prayer?
Quick break.
Excuse me.
That's how professional we are around here. Order up something else. See what you get.
I lost my place. Okay, where? And thank you for the water. Meanwhile, he and I got the opportunity to have many conversations about God. Dave's heart became less hardened, and he started to ask me many questions like I would know. Last Christmas, Dave learned that the boys were becoming into Red Deer with their parents on Christmas Eve. It was at that time that I learned that the parents were actually pastors. They were coming to Red Deer to serve as guest pastors in a Christmas Eve service at one of the churches. They invited Dave to the service. This made him uncomfortable, but Dave was eager to see his grandchildren. Even if that meant he had to go to church to do it, he would. He was very nervous about going and asked me what he should expect and what he should wear. Dave attended the service and had a nice visit with his grandchildren afterwards. And here's where it gets interesting. Later, when Dave was describing the experience of sitting in the church to me, he said that he had an overwhelming feeling come over him. A feeling that brought him to tears. It certainly sounded to me like it was certainly sounds like it was a moment of the Holy Spirit coming to him. Dave has been attending this church regularly for a year now, not being computer savvy. He recently phoned me to enlist my help to access an online service that the boy's father was preaching in. It is obvious to me and Betty how God had his hand in the whole situation. He found a loving home for the boys. The adoptive parents trusted Dave to allow him to continue to be in the boys' lives. Best of all, Dave is beginning his relationship with Jesus, and he loves to talk to me about it. What would Dave say if he were here? He would say that this is a story of an answer to prayer. It wasn't the answer he wanted at the time. He didn't get to raise the boys, but the answer that is the best, but it is the answer that is best for everyone involved, and Dave sees that now. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. That's Amen. Awesome.
Thank you for the water.
I have one from Jen Smith that she emailed in. Thank you, Jen. Make it bigger here. Jen says, Jen is a mother of two, and she's a very hardworking lady. This has been a year full of ups and downs for me personally, but I have loved that through it all, God has been showing me more and more that there is always hope in Him. Nothing in this world is worth putting our trust in other than Him. I'm so thankful that we have hope in Jesus, that the hope we have in Jesus is eternal, that nothing can take us from His hand, and that the thing that is feared most, death, is what actually ushers us into His presence for eternity. I am so thankful that we have a God we can trust in and cling to, no matter what, 3 exclamation points. And that I am most thankful that I can trust my family into His loving, perfect hands. Thank you, Jen.
That's awesome.
And another one from Beverly Witham. She says, my story actually starts in September 2019 when my husband John passed away. It was a terrible time, but I felt God's presence. The really amazing part happened when I began to deal with his estate. There were many problems and issues that I had no idea how to deal with, but just as soon as each challenge appeared, a solution, sometimes impossibly appropriate, appeared alongside it. Jesus walked with me every step of the way, and I felt him beside me.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Come on, Jen.
My husband is so great.
Oh, honey. All right, we have time for maybe one or two more. This is, and we don't do this very often. So, are you coming? Nice.
I've had two prompts to come up and share. So I'll try to make it as quick as possible. Charles Stanley, the pastor, is on the radio program the other day. Shared something that reminded me of something that I'm very thankful for. And just to put it in perspective, for 11 years now, my wife and I and some friends have been involved with Bulgaria and sharing with a bishop there. And the other day, Charles Stanley was sharing how he got a whole new perspective on worshiping God. And he shared that the night before, they were sharing testimonies, just like this. And this lady from his congregation was originally from Romania, and she was behind the Iron Curtain. And we do the Christmas boxes, the shoebox ministry. Well, she shared her testimony that in Romania, as a little girl, every year for Christmas, she would get a banana and an orange. And that was her gift for Christmas every year. But this particular year, her shoes had disintegrated so badly that her father had to wire them together so that she could keep them on. And she was desiring a pair of shoes. When the shoebox ministry came to her community and a shoebox was given to her, there was a pair of shoes in that box. Not toothpaste, toothbrushes, and little hankies and things, but a pair of shoes that fit her perfectly. Mm. And that's the reminder of the God that we serve. And Charles Stanley said, you know, this is more than a story about a little girl in a shoebox. This is a story about the God that inspired someone to put a pair of shoes into the shoebox, that guided that person to the right size of shoes and guided that shoebox to the storage where the distribution center, and that it got into the right plane to go to Romania, and from Romania it got into the right truck to go to the community, and that somebody chose that box to take and deliver to that little girl. Folks, that's the God we serve. And I'm so thankful. And that reminded me that as we started out our connections with Bulgaria, we were going to have a pastor's conference, bring pastors together to share and bless them. And just before going to that conference, a member from the church that I was attending at that time called me and said, "Harold, you have to take a pair of shoes over there for somebody." And I'm saying, "What?" She said, "God told me you got to take a pair of shoes." And it's like, "Well, what size?" "Well, I don't know. You figure that out." She says, "It's you just got to take a pair of shoes." Well, I had a few months earlier saw some shoes that were on sale that I would be a good when my heels wear out. I kind of wear heels out, and so shoes. I had this pair of shoes, so I took those to Bulgaria, and we did a 3-day conference on the weekend. And I didn't know what to do with these shoes. I was praying, "Lord, show me, what do we do?" And finally, when we were all wrapping up, I got the inspiration to go forward and say, "God told somebody to tell me to bring these shoes. And so I have a pair of shoes here. If there's a pastor here whose walk with the Lord has somehow been changed by this conference, would you come forward? I think I have a pair of shoes for you." Well, amazingly, there were 7 pastors up there immediately. So there's a problem. It's like, what do we do? And it's like, "Bishop Stillian, you speak Bulgarian here. Take the shoes. You work." The shoes only fit one man. Now, approximately a year later, we did another conference, and I took a team. And then the first night, there was a pastor that came and shared how the previous year he had received a pair of shoes. He'd been invited to the conference, didn't think he'd come because he didn't have work, he didn't have money, he didn't have anything. But Bishop Stillian insisted that he come, that it was all free, it was for him. And he borrowed a suit from a neighbor, and he was wearing his son's shoes that were too small for him. But he came. And he was the one that the shoes fit. And because he had the shoes, just a few days later, he was able to go to a job interview and get a job. And he was there a year later to say, "I'm back in business, working, I'm blessed." We serve a God that knows our individual little needs.
That's awesome. Pray worship. Worship team, you come on up here, and then
I have three more.
Yeah, as the worship team is coming, then Aaron will share the last three.
Okay. Jennifer Johnson online just wants to say that she's very thankful that she can have they're not breaking rules, but all of her kids are home for Christmas, and they're all stuck in the same house together. So she's really thankful for that. Vivian Chelsea says at home she's just thankful for this whole service, and she's thankful to the worship team, and she says all these testimonies have been really touching her heart. So she's very blessed. And then I have a couple emails. Joe Furman, he says, "Today, I am thankful for the amazing family that is Alliance Community Church. I am thankful to God for the beginning of my 9th year of sobriety, rescue from a life of complete hopelessness." He says,
I am also thankful for my recent engagement to Caroline and God's continued grace. That's a hand clap.
Yeah.
and then one more here. This year with a pen from Anne Leslie, Dionila, I hope I said that right. This year with the pandemic in mid-August, I was in a panic that I couldn't find another job. I applied online, but I didn't hear anything. And then one week before school started, I got a phone call from the public school if I wanted to work at CP Blakely as a daytime custodian. A big answer to prayer. God is faithful, and he always is taking care of me. But I have a sad heart every time I go to work because I want to work with kids in a classroom, and I cry most of the time. But God spoke to me that I was there for a purpose, that I might not be in a classroom. I might not be in a classroom, but there's a bunch of kids that I can be friends with and touch their lives. And yes, I made new friends, and I love and enjoy going to work and seeing those kids every day and the school staff as well. God is so faithful this year that I was able to have two jobs, a healthy family back home, and amazing friends here, and my church family who blesses me all the time. So thank you, ACC fam, for continuing to help me to find light in the end of the tunnel. I love each one of you. Kiss face emoji. Praise God for everything he's done and is continuing to do in our lives. I'm so blessed and thankful. Annie.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's stand. Let's close our time together and worship.